state. What we need is compliance with those laws across the board and enforcement of those laws so they move expeditiously so everybody plays off the same level. And if that were the case, and you knew who you had to go to for what permits when, and they had the personnel to get it done, the processing would be a lot easier.
Senator Musker.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. First of all, Paul, I want to thank you for your candor and your specificity, which is something we've asked for today, and I think you have been a highlight of that, and I appreciate you sharing those things, getting to the point and giving us some things to chew on, which we might be able to do some long-term stimulus, as well as your admonitions of maybe some things that we can't do short-term. Two things that you brought up I'd like to maybe see if you can elaborate on. Tomorrow we do have the chair of the Reagan Economic Development Commission coming, so we'll have an opportunity to talk then, but you did mention the department, OECD, and as possible taking a look at that. I wonder if you could extend that same candor that you exhibited and give us your thoughts on what should be the look at this stage of the economy, because as you had mentioned, things are different than they were a number of years ago, and how we might use that agency differently. And then secondly, and I talked to one of the people that were here this morning, and since you do represent some of the biggest large-based firms here in Oregon with Nike and Intel, one of the things I'm very concerned about, I think as a Senate we are too, is expanding the geographic base of our economy so that when we do come out of the recession, that we don't leave a lot of our rural communities in recession, whether it's Southern Oregon or Coos Bay or Hood River or anyone else. And are there, on some of the specific things that you mentioned, are there some that are more valuable than others in helping to expand the economic base so that a Nike or an Intel, besides just Washington County, would look, you know, at other places in the state of Oregon for expansion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair. You know, one of the things that I learned now 17 years ago, and when I was with the Tualatin Valley Economic Development Corporation, is that the city of Portland viewed itself as the economic engine of the state of Oregon. And we all got up on our high horse and said, well, that's not true, because if you ran for office in Washington County, you always beat up in the city of Portland. It's come to find out that you do that from every place else in the state of the city of Portland. But, you know, it's an interesting process. The jobs that come out of the city of Portland benefit Washington County. Jobs that come out of Washington County benefit the entire state of Oregon. It's a misnomer to believe that just if Intel grows in Washington County, that everybody else in the state doesn't benefit. Clearly, they pay a lot of taxes. They do other things. They help philanthropically. So I just want to make it clear, what's good for one area of the state is actually good for the entire area of the state. However, this group of corporations did identify one bill last session that, while none of them actually would have benefited from, we all thought it was a good idea for the entire state. And that was to provide investment tax credits for newer expanding businesses and highlight those based on long-term economic woes. If you look at the numbers and you have a higher unemployment rate in the Portland area now than you do the rest of the state, that's a blip in the system. What you really want to look at are those people that have quit looking for jobs, that have just kind of dropped out of the system because they've given up. We have problem areas like that within the Portland area as well as rural communities throughout the state of Oregon. And if there were a way to incentivize people to invest in the more rural or depressed or problematic the area was, the higher the incentive to invest there would be. That was one of the suggestions we had. And of course we ran into this problem. There's two things that come up. One, the advocates for the social programs, and I respect them because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They, you know, we can't cut taxes. But I turned it around on them and I said, you know, if you don't get anybody developing those areas, you're actually not giving away anything. If you get somebody to build something and it takes you money to get them to invest there, they still hire people. Those people pay income taxes. Those income taxes go into the state cycle. It goes back to what Chair Atkinson said earlier. You know, if you tax business because it's an entity, what you're actually doing is taking away from their ability to reinvest in people or product. And so if you look at investment tax incentives or tax credits in that way and targeting them towards rural area, we viewed that as the number one way to help depressed or economically hurting areas. The other way to do it was actually to do a good inventory, and there already is an inventory, by the way, but of infrastructure needs in the state, but to upgrade it from specifically an economic development perspective. What would it do to bring jobs into this area? Now, the other questions you asked are about, you got Brett Wilcox coming in tomorrow, apparently. He's a business person, attorney, and been very successful and doing a great job. The question to ask is, starting with the mission, the objectives of that agency, are there ways to develop regional strategies that we had years ago, update those regional strategies, and maybe bifurcate the agency so one side of it is really looking at foreign development and offshore opportunities, market share issues, and one is a distinctly different task of looking at how do you develop jobs, no matter how small, in some of these rural areas. How do you help the agricultural community? Where do you, if you got the cattle industry, how do you bring in the rendering facilities closer to them in the state of Oregon with the right kind of facility? Those are the types of questions that agency might do, but they're two distinctly different tasks, building markets in future offshore versus what do you need here in the state of Oregon. And keep in mind that the legislature, and I don't think any of you were there then, I was, are culpable as anybody else in the Department of Economic Development, not having a long-term vision of what we want and what they're supposed to do, and having their funding go up and down and their objectives changed by governor. We really need to think of these things in a broader vision of what's best, how's the economy changing, and where should we be going. Brett's a great resource to you on that, but as far as the department goes, I really think you should step back and say, if we started over, what would it look like? And if you did that, there's two distinct different economic issues that they're facing, and how do you address that? And then if you laid that into the ports, laid it into strategic investment, laid it into enterprise zones, then you could begin to put a fabric together as to what would be best for the state of Oregon. And especially if you took it one step further and created, well, at least an emphasis on high technology and said, what do they really need? What is it from this engineering school, and how should it look like? That, by the way, would give you a buffer to the longtime political issue of, how do you combine a system that has is difficult to do. You'd at least have somebody making recommendations to you that you could act on as political folks that would at least give a different buffer than you deciding whether Southern Oregon should do this or OIT should do that.
Thank you.
Senator Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, interestingly, now if you represent Washington County, you represent Portland, too. And so that is
things have changed.
A new development that we're having to grapple with. I think almost certainly the most important thing that we could do to stimulate the economy is probably the fifth point that you made. It's putting dollars on the street in construction. Superciding, and that was something that I had never thought of. Is that an isolated example of the Redmond bypass? Are there numerous examples like that? Because that is something that our committee, if that isn't isolated, could really put, I think, tremendous resources out on the street immediately and actually provide a stimulus to a lot of communities and construction jobs.
Mr. Chair and Senator, the Redmond one is a real specific identity, but if you went in the metro area for the transportation projects that are out there, or went to ODOT or any of the other agencies, you could begin to identify programs throughout the state that there's, if I can find one or two, people that do this every day can find many. And we, on behalf of the contractors and the building trades, track the construction that's going around the state real carefully, because that's our jobs. There are a lot of projects out there that are on the cusp. You might want to take that one step further and get the state treasurer in here and say, okay, based on bonding capacity, if we decided we wanted to expedite it, not just for ODOT, what could we do and what should we do? And maybe you're already inviting him in.
Tomorrow he'll be here, yes.
So those are the people that might be able to help you. And it would take if you do supersiding, would take action in the special session.
So, Mr. Chair, just a thought on that is that, Paul, if you guys could provide a list, or AGC, if they're in the audience, I don't know if they are, could provide a list of projects that are ready to go, that some legislative action could help put the dollars on the street, I think that would be helpful. And I think we do have the treasurer to ask the bonding question to.
And you, Mr. Chair and Senator, my client in this case, one of these cases, is Bob Shipback, Executive Secretary of the State Building Trades. He's going to be testifying in front of you, too, so those are issues you could raise with him, too. I'll give him a heads up. But we didn't want to confuse what was... The construction is one element of a whole package of things, so we decided it'd be best if we split apart our testimony.
Chair Maggioli?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul, I'd like your comment on an issue that I think we've got in a major part of the... most of the state, really. I believe that a major role we as legislature, a responsibility we have, is to provide infrastructure best we can to all over the state. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, last week I attended a Bonneville Power Administration briefing, and I was, I guess I'd sensed this for some time, but they pointed out very clearly that for the southern Willamette Valley, probably my guess is Corvallis South, or maybe even farther up than that, and southern Oregon and the rest of rural Oregon, we really do not have capacity for transmission of either electricity or natural gas. And we're right up to max on this thing, and it's really troublesome to me how we can move beyond that, because at least with Bonneville Power, their construction projects they're looking at are in the metro areas, or the highly populated areas, Seattle, Portland, and we're not increasing the capacity. Matter of fact, they pointed out we haven't built capacity for several years into some of our rural areas, or even the rest of the state. As we move forward and try to figure out how to get this thing moving, a lot of that is in the Bonneville Power is a federal expenditure, but in natural gas it is the private sector to get more lines down. That's a huge project, particularly when we're looking at 2 to 6 to 10 years a process to move that forward. And do you have any thoughts as to how we might try to reprioritize or advocate to the federal government because we simply can't compete in the rest of the state?
Well, the state of Oregon, Mr. Chair, Senator Messerly, the state of Oregon, I believe, still has lobbyists on contract with them in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure the governor's probably gone back and advocated, or if he hasn't, he will be. But what you touch on is a far more complex issue than you see people that immediately come up with ideas. In fact, it was brought up this morning, I believe. Maybe we could just freeze the power rates or change the power. It is so much more complex than those simple soundbite kind of answers. I honestly believe if you did an infrastructure analysis of the state and just looked at the gas-related issues, you'd have to start talking about a significant revolving development fund, maybe a different kind of a fee-based structure to be able to pay for the types of investments that need to be done. And it would have to be something that Representative Walden sits on the Commerce Committee. I would encourage you to contact him and get his information. If you don't have the Department of Energy coming in, you should. I understand there's something like 70-some different facilities for energy generation have been either sited or in the process for the state. Well, it raises an interesting question. Once it's produced, where's it going to go and how's it going to get there? But there are people here in the audience today that have far more experience in energy-related issues than I even pretend to have. But I would just take it as a challenge to you. It's just not, the infrastructure is in water quality, sewage treatment. There's a whole series of issues out there that if you want jobs to come to X community in rural Oregon, they actually need the facilities to treat those first. And it's just not rural Oregon. Washington County is looking at a $1 billion increase in its sewer treatment capacity. Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's continue to pick up the pace. We're going to go where we were on the agenda. Call forward Autumn Levy, Janet Jarvis, Realtors. We have... go ahead.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Atkinson, Co-Chair Metzger. I want to thank you for inviting us here to talk to you today. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors, and I'm honored to have with me my boss, Janet Jarvis, a government affairs director. I'm going to start talking a little bit about some land use regulations, and then Janet is going to conclude the presentation